Here.
It's not June 20th.
So today we have Shor Hefker, Nizke Hefker. So this also fits in nicely with the other demon that we saw in the Mishnah. Here the problem seems to be no shared responsibility between the persons, right? So Hektish, Akum, and Hefker is the clearest case because there just is no bialim in a standard case of Shor Hefker. So the Gemara gives two interpretations of Nechazim HaMiyukhadim. Both of them fit within the idea of a Shor Hefker being Pater. The first is Prat L'Nichse Hefker, Hedi Dami. So the Gemara wants to know, what's the case where you need the Mishnah to tell you that there's a Pater for Hefker Shehizik? Ilema Denogah Pater, Didon Pater, the Hefker, Man Tavale. So if you're Mazik Hefker, who's going to sue you? They actually might have said something like maybe the Tzibur can sue you or something. You know, so you destroy like the buffalo or the bison population of the United States. Maybe there's like the Tzibur itself has some sort of claim as like Baltashkas against you. But the Gemara doesn't go that route. And the Gemara says instead, El Denagaf Tura de Hefker Latura Didan, Lazel the Lase. So if it's a wild shore, a Hefker shore that's Mazik you, why don't you just retrieve it as compensation for your Nezek? And the Gemara says, no, it's Fishakidim Bezach HaBoacher. So it must be a case where somebody else then appropriates the shor after it's mazik, and the chiddush is that he's not liable to forfeit it to you as compensation for your damages. That's the Gemara's first suggestion. We'll get to the Gemara's second. That's the Gemara's first answer. We'll get to Ravina's answer later. A different case of shor hefker. Well, yeah.
Is the hamgen here that when the shor damages you, that somehow is like a kinyan that you acquire the shore, or is it the shore itself is responsible to pay for that?
Not clear. I think that we should be open to both of those possibilities here. And we'll see, I'm going to make...
It would be like the reverse, about in this case, Mamo, and the Mamo's responsible, but you're the owner of the Mamo.
So right, and it gets transferred to you. That we saw like the first semester.
Exactly. So like, this is like, could be the how
100%.
Support
that. Yeah, so we'll see that some Achornim seem to go in that direction here. I'm going to make a different suggestion. Yeah, so that's the Gemara suggestion. So, just want to point out, there may be a machlokes rishonim as to what the makar for the Patur Hefker is. It's not clear if you should really need a makar, because there's no bialim to be toveya. But the Rambam cites the makar, the Rambam just came along with Chesalat, that v'chein shor hefker shehizik patur shenemar shor rehehu, adshi yu anachasim hamyuchadim v'bailim. That doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara just cites, the Mishnah just says, Nechasim HaMiyuchadim, and then it says, what's the case? And it's, we just read through the Shaka Vitari. The Gemara doesn't say Shor Re'ehu, but the Rambam thinks it fits nicely within, there's no Re'ehu to sue. The Rashba may have a different emphasis from the Pasuk. He says, this is really from the Ravina part of the Gemara, but he says, Achi Yishav and Ke'echa, Achi Yav Yubaylim, Karvinan Bey, Mitchilaso Ba'ad Gemardin, Shor Ish. The shore has to have the status of a shore ish in order to generate liability. So it's the same pasuk. Yigo shore ish is shore re'eyu. The question is, do you think the derivation is from shore re'eyu? Which I think leans in more into this idea of social cooperation, right? So it's only if it's re'eyu that you could sue for damages. That's the Rambam's view. Whereas the Rashba's view is shore ish, that a necessary condition for liability is that there be some owner, which I think is a weaker condition than shor re'ehu, right? So as long as it has an owner, so you might say, for example, an akum would be consistent with shor ish, even if it's not consistent with shor re'ehu. Okay.
If you do nezek to a shor akum, you're pater. Are you not?
Yeah, we just spoke about this in the last kabura.
You are pater. This room say you're pater.
The Gemara ends up saying that you're pater mitnam shor re'ehu.
Right. So once you say that it's not re'ehu, then you're pater. So what's the Rashba saying?
Rashba is talking about hefker, so the question is hefker pater?
No, it's not. Meaning he's saying the fact that there's no person that owns this other animal,
right.
Therefore you're pater.
Right.
But according to the maskin of the shor re'ehu, of a shor re'ehu sugya, it's that as long if it's not a re'ehu, then you're also pater.
Right, so that's the hektish. So that's the hektish and achlam are pater mikam re'ehu. But hefker is pater for a different reason, a lot of shor ish.
Oh, but just for the reason, not
it's, yeah, it's a different basis, right? Whereas the Rambam thinks that the Patur is Noveh from a lack of Re'ehu. So I don't know if there's anything significant to be taken out of there. Here I just point out that maybe there's some Nafkamina, whether you think the Patur Hefker is on par with the Patur Akam and Hekdesh. I don't have any like sharp distinction or any sharp enough opinion in mind. But yeah, no.
I think that it's interesting that depending on whether you use the Makor of Shor Ish versus Shor Re'ehu, it focuses on Mazik Veniza, which I think is significant for like the rest of the analysis.
It's interesting whether that's true. So Noah's making a nice point here that Shor Ish is about is Mazik centric and Shor Re'ehu is Nizak centric, right? Or it's Nizak, it's emphasizing the Nizak. Not sure because Re'ehu is a relational term. So it's true that in the pasuk, Shor Re'ehu is referring to the shore of your. So it denotes the owner of the shore hanizak, but the connotation of Re'ehu is about the relationship between the mazik and the nizak.
It's the friend.
You hear what I'm saying?
Well, yeah.
The Re'ehu on the shore.
I say from a literary perspective, like you're correct. I think that's a good objection. No, like conceptually.
I think you're right. You're just putting my point aside. Still, Shor Re'ehu is about the Ptur. It's like a Nisak-based Ptur versus a Mazik-based Ptur, right? So you can put it, that way. Even though I wonder, still, Re'ehu is still a relational term, right? It's not Kiyugo of Shor Ish as Shor Ish, right? It's Shor Re'ehu, which denotes a relationship between the Mazik and the Nisak. So I think it might be less Nisak-centric.
But Shor Ish, though, definitely is Mazik-centric.
Yeah, that's true, right?
The case is typically the case where the
shore
itself is not owned by anyone. That's the case. The first case of where the shore was owned by someone, but he damaged the shore heifer, that's the dimension of the store here.
Right, but it sounds like the Gemara thinks that's obvious, the shore.
That's a non-tala, like, that might be like a technical problem.
Right, or like klape shmaya galia, you owe society some general...
Yeah, or like maybe you would owe something, but there's no one to pay.
Right, it's like if you replant the trees, you have to like... bring back whatever it is that you damage or something.
Yeah, hey, or maybe you do have a few things like that, there's no one to pay for that.
Right, so it's like technicality, there's no tribunal to enforce it, or there's nobody to exercise their rights, but there is some objective fiat. It's possible.
There was an actual damage that was caused.
Right.
There wasn't
and even a fiat, maybe, just like there's no one is standing to sue for it. Yeah, it's a possibility.
There's two points. One is, like, it seems like this is a very technical method, because even if you could come up with a reason Shor Ish is different from Shor Re'ehu, everyone agrees Shor Re'ehu is still a drasha, that is my various types of shores that aren't owned.
Right.
So it's no one saying, like, oh, well, Shor Re'ehu is not enough of a ground to create a Torah. Everyone agrees, like, the fact that it's part of, it's not part of, this interconnected social network, whatever significance you give to Shor Re'ehu, everyone agrees that's sufficient. The question is only, is this something different? So... it's not necessarily the most important.
Right, I agree. Yeah, as I'm saying, I'm not sure if there's much significance to talking about this, but maybe Noah's.
But even then,
Noah's ambiguous becomes significant later in trying to figure out the nature of the tour. Is it a relational tour? Like, you don't have duties?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, you don't have duties to have there in that same way. Or if I do that, no, it's just unknown, so.
But if I could ask me also for the Rashba's case, Rosh was talking about what happens if the shore was owned by someone and then
afterwards
it's not. So if it's about Shor Re'ehu, you could say that very back at the very beginning it was owned by someone that defines as Shor Re'ehu.
I
think we have to look around.
You don't have to make that assertion necessarily, but it could be related.
Right.
And then also the fact that you need a makor clearly means that...
And then notice the Gemara doesn't have a makor.
Exactly. It clearly means the Hamid and the Rambam and the Rashba is that someone or something should be chayav.
Yeah, good. So
because the Gemara goes without saying who's going to pay.
Right.
It's obvious.
Yeah, good. So we'll see that. That's important. Because even the Gemara doesn't have a... doesn't appeal to a pasuk, certainly not within this day. And the Rambam is a chadish, so you need a pasuk to have my hefker.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a. And the Rashba also, right, thinks you need a pasuk to my hefker.
Also, is Anshu and Chasim Yuchadim the Bailam? I know that the Mishnah of Gemara is a Lashon of Miyuchad.
Yeah.
But does that mean anything beyond Bailas in the Rambam, or is that just a synonym for Bailas? Because it's weird to include both, which is synonym for Bailas.
Right.
It could just be you want to use the Gemara's Lashon, but like, why right, why bother saying Anshu and Chasim Yuchadim and Bailam?
Right, so it's covered by Hefker, or is there something else covered
exactly. Is there such a thing as something that's not Hefker, but also not Mikhail Vaila?
Right.
Well, it depends on, I mean, like, if you think about the Gemara has, like, three different presentations of, like, what Miuchad Lubalim really is, so,
right.
Like...
one of them is Kesher Safik.
Right, exactly. That's so true. The Rambam seems to not embrace that conceptual approach of the Safik.
So, yeah, so they just did say it to be very clear.
Yeah.
The Shitas and the Gemara is possible.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Right. And that's really interesting because that first day is clearly just a standing issue, right? You just don't know which person to sue. So it's So it's like this procedural technicality that you can't collect because you don't know who the mazik is.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like if hefker is of a similar kind to that, then it tells us that hefker is just like procedural technicality. There's no one to collect from.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's helpful. So, what are the reasons for thinking that Meikar Adin, at least in the Havamina, that Shor Hefker Shehizik would be subject to compensation, or would serve as compensation for Nizak, even if it has no Bialim? Right, so just a wild animal destroys my property. What's the basis for thinking that I have a right of collection against it, even though there's no owner? And at this point, let's just assume that's the Havamina of the Gemara, which gets rejected. But then later we'll see that this is maybe even a maskana for some Achronim, and maybe for the Yoshami also. So the Rosh says that the Havamina is v'lo Amina Misha Shenagach Huchlep L'Nizak. Right, the Havamina is that he would have fought, presumably based off the Gemara's later on in the Lamids, about Huchlat, if a short time is Mazik, we say Huchlat Hashor. That's Macholgas Huchlat or Yishma Hashor Bezdin. But the Havamina here is Lo Amina Misha Shenagach Huchlat L'Nizak. You would think that even if there's no Bialim, the animal itself will serve as compensation for the Nizak. So this would be in a parasite. Similar point. In Tamar Lan Damar Yuchlat Hashor L'Nizak Heki Yuchal Acher Liskosbo Hakfar Huchlat L'Nizak Misha Sasiya Sanezeh. So this would be in a parasite also has the suggestion that especially if you hold Yuchlat Hashor, then the moment Ashor Hefker is Mazik, it becomes the property of the Nizak as his compensation. His answer is to reject that. Right? Ownership is a necessary condition of liability for Nezek. So you might say the Rosh and Abinu Peretz have this Havamina that there can be liability without ownership. So there's liability does not just arise as a relationship between persons. Liability could arise by the mere fact that you're a nizak. That gives you a claim for compensation. Come back to this soon. That's the Havamina, and that's ultimately what's rejected, especially in Tosafot Peretz. That in order to have a claim, there has to be a person against whom you exercise the claim. But there's no such thing as a liability claim against a non-person. Yerasameach, and you can see a whole slew of Achronim, also build up this idea that the Havamina here is grounded in the idea of Shor Tam Mishalei Migufo. So very quickly, this is the Arsameach suggestion. Kivin de Inchem Shibud al Nitzei HaBailim, Rak al HaTam, Lugos Migufo Lovad, L'chein Tzarek Lomai, Nechasin HaMiyuchadim. The reason why you would think in a Havamina that you have a claim against the Shor without Bailim is related to the principle of Shor Tam Mishalei Migufo. But if it was analogous to a Mu'ad case, where the claim is only against the assets of the Bible, the Havamina would never get off the ground. So you see that? So I think there's something exceptional about Shor Tam Mishalei Migufo. Because when Yechezkel goes for a broader conclusion from our Gemara, so he quotes the Nechasim Yechazim Prat L'Nitzei Hefker. He says, our Gemara says, it's the case of Nagach Tura Hefker L'Tura Tidan. And he says, very interestingly, Shma Mina, Shechiyuba diniske shor ein machmas abaylim bishim shelo shamruhu kerai ella shechiyuba the shor machmas ashor. So he leans into this position to show that you see from our Gemara that liability in general from the zikin arises from the actions of the shor itself, not from the responsibility of the owner of the shor. Right, so this is like that Hershian position that we saw in the beginning of the year. And the Tzadon Yecheskel thinks our Gemara is a riot to that position. So it's very important, right? So that, again, that liability can exist independent of the owner's responsibility. Reb Chaim makes a similar point. Let me just finish this afternoon. I'll get the questions. Reb Chaim makes a similar point in the stencil. And Reb Chaim says, Amar Gach, Shaini Shibud Ashur. Hainu Hashibud Shechal Al Ashur, we call Hashibudim Da Alma. When it comes to every other responsibility to pay in halacha, so the liability falls on the person, and then through the person it extends to his property. So if I'm duty bound to pay, so then part of my responsibility is that my nechasim become liable for my debts. He says, but there's something special about short time, which is different. About the short time, she has diction shalim yigufo, chal hashibur al hashor mibli sheyachol yikodim al abaylam chiyuv. When it comes to short time, which is migufa mishalim, the liability bypasses the bylam and exists, inheres directly in the shore. Okay? And he goes, Raya lezevi dira gemara, nagach tur dehekel tur didan, lezel they say. Notice, haredi lab zeres akasiv dehekel pater. So he's like reading it like a Rambam zeres akasiv. Hayadotel hashar mehazocha. You would have a claim against the shore which supersedes the person who appropriated the shore after the nether. Even though the appropriator never had any responsibility for the shore's actions. So it sounds like Rabbi Chaim wants to say that even the maskana, that the appropriator of the shore, Hefker Shehizik, his rights override the claims of the Nizak, that's almost like a technicality. In principle, the Nizak has a claim against the shore. Just Zochem and Hefker's claims are greater than the claims of Nizak. But in principle, even the maskana, you think this idea holds.
So just a short time.
Well?
But it's just for a short time.
Yeah, for a short time case.
Why is it different than the Orsameach?
Yeah, it's very similar to the Orsameach and
the Russian
Well,
the Russian Rebbe.
Same idea throughout all these. I don't know. They're all getting at the same idea.
I mean, the Chazon Ish is so different now. Why is it so different?
Yeah, why do you think so?
Isn't he saying that Tom is like Nizik and for a short in general, the fee is not short?
Some might say, at least in a short time case, they don't have a riot from our Gemara that. But applied to one case either.
Is he limited?
He does not explicitly.
Right, I mean, okay. I don't know if there's any reason just for doing everyone else seems to base the fear in the concept of short time, Michelle and Rufo.
Yeah, he just doesn't mention it explicitly. But I think that this, if you think this halacha is bound up a short time, Michelle and Rufo, then it would be limited to that kind of a case. Let me just make one point, and I'll take all the questions, because this just builds off the Achronim's analysis. So, you already see in the Chazon Yechezkel and Reb Chaim that they think this applies, the relevance of the Gemara Yud Gimel, or the significance of the Gemara Yud Gimel extends beyond the Shor Hefker case. Chazon Yechezkel says, you see that in general, the basis for liability in Nizkei Mamon is not because the owner is Pshia, it's because of the actions of the Shor. And Reb Chaim says a similar idea. The Netziv goes even further and says that maybe even the Maskana, in a Shor Hefker case, there is liability that adheres in the Shor Hefker Shehizik. And he has a stiyuk in the Rambam, in his Gemara Ches Daled. So we saw the first part. Chain Shor Hefker Shehizik, Pater Shnemar Shoriyu, Kezad. Shor Hefker Shenogach, Kodim Shehizik, Oso Hizak, Amar Acher, Zachaba, or is a Pater. That's the Rambam's phrase. So what's the Netziv's stiyuk here?
Ketzad.
Well, yeah, that it's the Ketzad is limiting the application of the Hefker Pater, right? Meaning, Lamaskana, the Nizak does have a claim against the Shor Hefker Shehizik, but his claim doesn't override the rights of somebody who's Zochem in a Hefker.
I think it's also from the Pater part.
Well?
Isn't it also from the Pater part for this deal?
How is the Pater?
And then why would you think he's not? Like, who's doing anything wrong?
Wait, what's the basis for liability?
Right.
Yeah, so you can see that in Rome Sada, the Tiv says that Kviar Viar Nubach Behemak Shela, Shida Saramam, Kimashmo, Shemagia Lahanizak. And Nizak has a right, he has a claim against the shore, Tom Shehizik, Ella Shehim Kviar Tafas. Unless somebody else already sees it before him.
Isn't that the Gemara saying? I don't think it's such a big deal. Like, Gemara says that.
He thinks this is the Pshat in Gemara.
But the Gemara basically said, doesn't the Gemara say that almost explicitly?
He thinks the Pashup Shah when the Gemara says.
I think it's Pashup Shah, yeah. It says Lezo the Lese or something like that.
Go take
and
it.
And it says, oh, so then what's the Ukimta? Ukimta is when someone else sees it.
Right, Lezo the Lese. But it's not clear, but Lezo the Lese just like Itza Tova Ba'alma? It's like, go take it. Who's stopping you? It's like, why are we even getting into this, like, question about the mission of being Maimonides? But the, meaning, you might say Lazy is just descriptive.
Yeah.
Why is there even a Shiloh? Just go take the animal.
Interesting.
And then the Tzibah is saying, no, 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 this is normative. And the Gemara is saying, it's your right to take it as Gevia for your Chol, for your Nezek. And then the Tzibah goes further and says, it's usur for somebody to be Zochem and a Hefker, to deprive you of your right of collection. Here's what it says. Here's where he goes further. Says, Ha'igar das Rambam, Ta'afilu shor Hefker, Shehin to go with him, he did. Right? Calls Manchel upon Moachav Zochabo. Quotes the Rambam. Mashma didavka kidim, v'zeh lashon ketzad. D'lav mikol makom, or d'lav mikol mili patur shor hefker. Then he says, like you, Jonah, v'imkein pirsh asugin du avakam, v'leza v'leza kimashmo, d'al pidin asur lizkos bo, v'lahafsid shivudo. Elo she'im kidim v'zochavo patur. He says that the Tziv thinks is actually an iser against a third party to come and take the shore, which will deprive the nizak of his compensation. And here, I think there's a moment in this topic whether, even though he's pater b'le'adam, maybe there's a chi b'de shemayim.
To give it back.
To give it back b'di'eved. Right? So even if the third party appropriates min hefker, maybe he has a chi b'de shemayim to return the value of the nezek from the shore. Sounds like you had a question?
Yeah, two things. I mean, a chi b'de shemayim, in which case, nachmin would be like in tapas l'mafkinan.
Yeah, it's not clear if every case of chibud shemayim generates a tapas hamafkinan, but right.
No, that's something I was going to say before that. I mean, the idea that it says is inner pain itself. It says that mikol makom ofen hashibud nishar shoshaya aschach, that even in the maskana, the shibud is still there.
Yeah, I think inner pain just means this in a very general sense that for a short time, the nature is still at the shibud and appears on the shore, independent of the violin. Not that in a case of a shor hefker shehizik, the shibud is still there, and certainly not as far. He's certainly not going as far as the tip to say that there's an iser on a third party to come and take it.
Right. I mean, that would be the logical next step.
Right. Like, so I'm not sure when he says even lachar avilu dekra
that hefker is potter, even though hefker is potter says nekzer katu, there's still a shibud.
Right. So I'm not sure if he means in this case or means that in general. What the Havamina shows you about the nature of short time Mishalim Migufo, which is then vitiated by the Xeris HaKasav in this case, it's undermined by Xeris HaKasav. I mean, so the Xeris HaKasav Hefker tells you there is no Shibud HaGuf in the case of a Shor Hefker Shehizik, doesn't undermine the general idea that in every other case of a Shor Tam it's Mishalim Migufo. Yeah, we wouldn't read
okay.
That way. Even so, then he's not going to get far to say there's an Isser on the third party to come and take it. And I'm not as far as my extension than say there is a Chibud Shemayim in this case. Yeah.
Going to Shomi's first point about the short day being a short time.
Yeah.
If this is all about short time and not like any other type of damage, like
yes.
Chain or Rego, then if Rambam's talking about this as a Ptur of Re'eu, doesn't that imply something about the other? About the other cases of Re'eus, about Hefker and Hakam, about Hekish and Hakam as well.
Why?
It's only limited, because the same Ptur is only limited in one case.
But that just shows that Re'eu, we know, is a case of Shor Shehizik Shor. So maybe that makes sense. That's still consistent with it being limited to a time case.
But I'm saying, if it's all based on Re'eu, then why limit it here only to.
I think Re'eu applies, as opposed to Muad also?
Yeah, or not, or Chain Rango.
I think it might be difficult to have a Muad case that's Hefker. So I'm not sure there's such a thing as a shorter.
You could definitely have a chain of Rego, though. You definitely can have you can easily have like a wild bison, like eating from my land. It sounds like a dog,
interesting.
Or walking through my land.
Right. Let's go back for a second. I think Yoni's raising a very interesting point. Meaning, do you guys see Yoni's point?
No.
Yes, the way I understand the significance of Yoni's point is that I'm just gonna cut to the
qualifier.
No. You're making a very good point. I'm going to generalize your point further, which is that these achronim impose the category of tam onto our Gemara. And so the reason why the Havamina you know, makes sense is because Shor Tam is Mishalim Gufo, right? But there's nothing in the Gemara here that indicates we're dealing with a Shor Tam. And maybe even if Mu'ud and Tam are only relevant when you have Bailin, what about a case of Shein Varega, right? So you have a wild animal that just tramples your produce or eats your produce. Right? So what's the din in that case?
I mean, obviously Putter.
Well?
Obviously Putter.
Why obviously Putter?
Because it's not Shalom Gufo. You don't even need a pusik to tell you your Putter.
So I wonder if, how do you know that the din for Shor Hefker is not Mishalim Gufo if there's no Bailin?
What?
How do you know that the din for a Shor Hefker is not Mishalim Gufo, even for Shein Varega?
I mean, I guess you don't know that, but...
I think Yoni's point is very interesting, because... now, if we're here to talk about Shor Tam, the reason why this happening to make sense is, of course, Shor Tam is Mishalim Gufo, but there's nothing in the Gemara to suggest that it's limited to a Shor Tam. And there's nothing in the Gemara to suggest that... Mishalim Migufo is a relevant category when it comes to Niske Hefker.
What about the fact that how many you have?
So it could be, so this is what I think would be very interesting, if maybe all cases of Nezek for a Shor Hefker would be Mishalim Migufo.
I mean, the only way to make any sense is to get collection. How else are you going to get your money back?
Right.
At the Shor.
There's no Bailin. I mean, the distinction between Minaliyah and Migufo is relevant when you have Bailin. But in the absence of Bailam, then all Tashlumei Nezek Min Ashor are Migufo. Right? I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Right? And it makes sense in the Rambam. This is part of Yoni's point, is that the Rambam doesn't distinguish between Shor Hefker Shehizek, but Tam, Wood, Shein, Regel. It's Igor Chasim and Asefer to limit this to a Shor Tam case.
So it's case on stuff for Nagach.
Yeah, Gemara says Nagach. It's clearly talking about Karen, not Shein, Regel.
Yeah, why do you limit it to...
When you say limited, what do you mean? Because it obviously is not limited to Tom. That's
it's obviously not limited to Tom?
Correct. That is not what anyone is claiming.
Right.
People are claiming is that the Havamina and the Gemara, the Yichayah, was limited to Tom.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
This analysis
is obviously Putzer across the board.
And what about the Nitziv's point that there is an Isser?
We're just reinforcing what that is.
That lays on the lazy. That what?
It's an open question for Mu'ah, whether it would be an Isser. You know, the whole
right, problem. So I'm saying that maybe Yoni's right that even for Shein Varega, which are Mu'ah, there you lost on Yudkein as like Shalei Megufo.
Yeah, so it's an open question of whether you would say Shalei Megufo for it. All in this Hefker, or just for Niske Hefker Tam.
Okay, but that's not even Gechonim raised. That's like that, my point is that Gechonim aren't mentioning anything. They're limiting this whole
right.
Product to all about Tom.
Why is that a problem? I don't see what the issue is.
Why are we compelled to limit this to
the whole
right,
where's the basis?
Why
are you
limiting this whole ticket to Shor Tom?
Because intuitively, Mu'ad is not Shalei Megufo. So obviously, Mu'ad Hefker is Putter.
Who mentioned anything? The Gemara doesn't mention Shalei Megufo here. There's no point.
Everyone is talking about Shalei Megufo as the basis for the power that you would have tied.
Right, yeah,
that's not a Gemara that mentioned Shalei Megufo.
What's your objection to that svara of Shalei Megufo as the actual basis for the Havamina?
I think it makes equally sense that Shor Mu'ud, Shor Jedi, Shor.
I'll say it better. I'll say it better. The whole word of a Shor Tam is that, especially Palbiniska Knasa, is to exercise imposed Vader Shmir on the Bailam, right? And so, how is that relevant for a Shor Hefker? Why, that category of Tom may not even be applicable to a Shor Hefker, right?
Also, maybe to give another reason why you wouldn't want that Svar only to limit to Tom, Shor Tom, because like you could say that in theory, what the whole point of Shor Tom is that we're limiting the maximum liability. But if there's no violence, we don't care to limit the liability. Therefore, we could just apply any kind of
right. I mean, even as a shot,
any kind of penalty doesn't matter.
So I think one way of understanding is a horny maybe is just to say it's a lot dafkin them if they take their point that this Havamina only makes sense if there is Tashlum and Migufo, and then they're pointing out and saying, look, there is a paradigm in Halacha that Shor Tam is that Ashur is Mishal and Migufo, i.e. the Tam case, but in a case of Hefker, all Tashlum are Migufo, even Nezek Shalem. I think that'd be very nice.
Is this definitely Chasi Nezek here in the Havamina? Or Shor Tam?
Sure. No, the Gemara doesn't say that. All right, the Gemara, there's no reason to limit the...
I mean, if I were to grab the shore, or I was denied in the Levite, I shouldn't deserve the shore. Who damaged me? Like,
you're... That's not... I mean, it's on the Nitziv's reading.
Right, so I'm saying, so that...
So is it also for me to deprive you of just Chazi, or is my Chiv Dei Shemayim half, or is my Chiv Dei Shemayim, right, the full value?
Right.
I'm saying it's not even clear that this Palga Niska is relevant in a Shor Hefker Shehizik case. Selter,
I mean, you can't possibly say this case is talking about Mu'ad, because if someone's mafkir, they're short Mu'ad.
There's no shame Mu'ad. But you're talking about shame Berega, which are Mu'ad and Chilasan.
But that's new by Mu'ad.
Right. So it's true that Lenya and Negicha, there's no shame Mu'ad, because you lose the status. But shame Berega are Mu'ad and Chilasan. Right? So what's Gemara going to hold in that case?
For servants.
Well?
For service.
Not too worried about Katsi Nesek for us.
I think those are the same in that there's a Kudus.
But they're not Mishalim Begufo.
What's not Mishalim Begufo?
Nezek, Shane Barrett.
I'm saying, correct. Right. I'm saying, there's a clear, I guess this is what Isaac's saying, there's a clear distinction between Muad and Tam, that Muad, even for Shane Regel, they're completely based on the violence of Shia.
Are they?
Seems like it.
I don't know.
And you have him not washing his animal three times, and you have Shin Regel, which is, right, you're not properly looking after your animals, which is there happening. But by Tam, where especially if you think as a Kenosa, right? It's more the animal just did an action that I wasn't really responsible for. We're gonna put a Kenosa on me so that I do it in the future, but the action itself I wasn't really responsible for.
I don't know, but if the whole Mikra Hidish Pato Lagamri, right? And we just impose a Knas to
right,
make
that
the exercise
that shows
so there shouldn't be any basis for liability.
You're Pato Lagamri with the Baal, but that shows that the animal itself.
So maybe there are three dinim in every Nezek, right? So maybe all the dinim, the chilukim between Mishalim Migufa and Mishalim in Aliyah, those are Klave the Bailim. If we're asking about the Bailim's liability, is it direct or is it through the animal? But when you're dealing with a Shor Hefker, the only kind of compensation which you could talk about is Migufo. And so it would apply even in a Mu'ad case. Even in a Shem Beregel, it would only pay me Gufo. You could go to the animal's bank account. Right? That, I think, Yoni's point is very interesting.
I was going to make the same point.
And you were going to make the same point as Yoni. Selter, that what?
I mean, this just depends on what you think the relationship is between Mu'ad and Tam. It's more like a substantively different field. Because if Mu'ad is substantively different in its case and Mu'ad is a Ba'al, then it's like incoherent to try and apply this path there.
But remember that for Shane Beregel, it doesn't really seem to be grounded in Mu'ad Ba'alim, Mu'ad Ba'alim. It seems to just be grounded in animals are prone to do this mitchila.
So you could just say that means that there's always like almost like an assumption.
The Ba'alim's always on notice.
Yeah.
Right. But the point is the Gemara isn't limited to a Tom case. The Achronim read that in. And then I'm saying, when the Achronim read that in, does that mean they're limiting the Havnina to cases of Shor Tam Mishalim Migufo? Or does it mean that they think the paradigm of Shor Tam Mishalim Migufo would govern all cases of Shor Hefker Shehizik? And I'm inclined to think the latter would make the most sense. That's that. I guess Shkai Akhani has that. It's good hard. So this becomes even more important. Does everybody see the Nitziv Diyak in the Rambam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you think it's a good deal? Do you think like the Rambam generally, when he says Kitzad, is using it to qualify?
That's very short idea. Well, I mean, like, come here, come on. Like, the Rambam's phrase is short hefker shenagach v'kodim sheit v'zozo hanizach halalach erizach habar is a pater. So the Rambam's just saying that when you read this phrase, doesn't it sound like the Rambam's just saying that the person who was toe-faced did no wrong. No?
Well, why say pater? Yeah.
Why does Rambam say pater?
Yeah, you just said like.
Because he didn't deprive you of something that you're entitled to.
So they are they show up or something. I say pater. Pater like implies a havmina chiyuv.
Well, it implies a havmina chiyuv, but it doesn't. Which it's consistent with the Gemara, but does it apply a maskana of? That it's usher for the guy to take it?
Pater usher?
Like a Shabbos?
Zero short shore.
I'm not so on board with the Deacon Rambam, but I like the Shita, and I think the Shita makes a lot of sense.
So maybe that's why you read it. I have to do Deacon. He was like, oh, that just makes a lot of sense. Kids, it must be kids.
Hey, he thinks that's like the simple shot of the Gemara. Like Jonah said, Lezel Velesi is Kimashmo, Dal Pidin also Luskos Kol Lahasa Chiudo, and that he has a normative right to it. Right?
Is that a big deal though? I mean, like, it's not clear. I mean, I don't think it's such a great argument to be made either way.
On the reading of the Gemara.
Yeah,
whether it's descriptive or
right.
quasi-normative. Now, the best position for this idea that the Shor Hefker Shehezik does generate liability, so it emerges from the Yushalmi. The Yishalmi may hold the maskana that the Bialim has a claim against the Shor Shehizik. So in the Bavli and Memdal and Rebase, we have a discussion about Shor HaNiskal and Machlokes in the Mishnah, whether a Shor HaMidbar, a Hefker Shor, whether it's subject to Skila if it kills somebody. It's Machlokes Tanayim. So I think it's Rav Meir against Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah of the Rav Meir is brought as sound of Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda thinks Shor HaMidbar is Pater Min HaMisa, and Tanakama thinks Shor HaMidbar is Chayav Misa. So, the Yushalmi, commenting on this Mishnah, says, my time under Rav Yehuda, that you're Pater, but who have a Bailam lo Yishmarenu, ain't Bailam le'elu. Then the Yushalmi asks, in a Nezikin, what's the din with respect
to...
But this is with respect to Skila.
Yeah.
Then the Yishan has Lenya Nezikin. What's the halacha with respect to Nezikin? If a Shor HaMidbar is Mazik somebody, are they entitled to collect? So Tanya Rav Hoshea, Lenya Nezikin, or Mer Machai, Rav Yudan Poter. So the Yishami seems to say, with respect to Nezikin, the same machlokes applies, which would mean that according to Rabbi Meir, Tanikama, they would be lamaskana chiyuve tashlumin from the shore, even when you're dealing with a shore hefker. So that kind of havamina that the Achorim were pointing out, and then the lamaskana iser that the Netziv has, seems to be a lamaskana chiyuve tashlumin in the Yushalmi. So you ask what the Tnei Moshe also says. L'inyan nezikin mai, yipal rab yudha gam v'nezikin, u'poter le'elu she'en lahem b'ayla. The question is, how do you explain the maskana of the Yushalmi, the maskanas iser of the Netziv, and the Havmin according to these achronim? Why is it that there should be liability in cases where there's no owner? Like, what's the basis for the claim of Teshlamin? So, Liat, what do you think?
And you're again say something where it comes from the animal itself. Or maybe it comes from society.
Meaning what?
Like the basis from a lot of the liability here.
Hmm?
You have to say, so first it has to be focusing on the either the wrong or the good that was taken away from the nizak, from the
okay.
damaged party. And then the question would be whose responsibility is that, and that would either fall on the animal, which would be proxied somehow, because presumably we don't have animals having liability. So like basically it would be responsible to rectify it or something. Or like society overall would have a responsibility.
Yeah, so I think that's exactly right. Let me just give what I think is the quirkier answer first, then I'll get to Leah's point. So again, the quirkier answer is something we saw earlier in the semester, and that's to say that maybe animals do have moral responsibility for their actions, at least in some cases. So we saw this in the Ramban La Torah, on the Pasuk of Achaz, Dimchem L'Nafsho Seichem Edrosh Miyad Kol Chaya Edroshena. Right? The Torah seems to say that Ribbono Shel Olam will exact justice from all the creatures. So Ramban says, how can that be? How can it be Miyad Achaya Kamo Miyad Adam Lios Onesh Kedavar? Is the Ramban a gracious Pasei? Vein V'chaya Da'ash Etei Onesho Shetikav Oskar. Then he says, Right? v'lo yochalas b'saro. Ve'inenu lahanish es v'ayla ma'mamon, ki afilu shor ha-midbar chayav misa. So the Ramban proves from that mission that shor ha-midbar is chayav misa, at least according to the Tanakhama, that maybe in a hanami, that animals do bear responsibility for their harming persons. Right? So you might say, well, the same way that Ramban wants to acknowledge this in the case of Shvichas Damim, so then Yushami Lamaskanra and the Nitziv with respect to Isser think that animals can be responsible even without owners to make up the losses that they cause. That's the quirkier answer.
So all dogs don't go to heaven?
What?
All dogs don't go to heaven?
Right. All good dogs go to heaven. Right? Or,
No, the Ramban just saying all bad dogs go to hell. They're not just telling us that the punishment will be exacted.
Yeah, well, maybe once they have their punishment, they get their feel like that, right? Because you're an armachaper.
You're on a basic level, that's some kabbana. I mean, it's very complex, but like, if you're not going to do this, or if you're not going to do that.
Right.
And,
you might think kabbana is different from generating liability for your actions.
That's actually much
of right. So one reading is to say that the reason why short time is Mishal and Migufo, or why, on my reading, that you could be Gova from Migufo in these cases of Hefker, is because the animal is responsible. Right? That would be this quirkier way of understanding the din. I think we saw our Herzog in the first semester who had a similar idea, right? That the animal's responsibility, that in the Hamad of the din, it gets transferred to the Bainam. That sound familiar to anybody?
What? No, that's wild.
What?
No, but that's wild.
All right, let's see. Go back to the recording. You probably said the same thing in the that's wild. But I think the second answer, I think what Leah's getting at is the more correct answer. And that is that maybe liability, so is always this fakir in the background, does liability arise from the mazik's wrongdoing? That's the basis for liability. Or does liability arise, at least in some cases, from the nizak's loss? Right. So the nizak suffers a loss, and now we have to try to make back his loss for him, or make up his loss. Well, who has that responsibility? So Liad's saying, well, maybe there could just be some rule about it, or maybe the tzibur has to make back his loss, like we saw in these social compensation schemes. But here in the Hefker case, maybe just the point is that the animal has to make back the loss because it's the most reasonable thing from which he can seize compensation. It's causally related to the loss that the Nizak suffered. And so the rule is that he makes up his loss from the thing that caused the damage. But it's not like Tashlumi Nizikin in general, where you'll say, oh, the Mazik was responsible, so the Mazik pays. But rather, it begins with the Nizak's loss. And then you have a chiddush in our sugya, which shows that a nizak's loss without a mazik is sufficient to generate chiyuvei tashlumin. And those chiyuvei tashlumin in here in the shor hefker shehizik. Everybody see that? So that would explain the Yushalmi's maskana, maybe even the Netziv's havamina, and even the Netziv's maskana with respect to Isser. That's why it's also for somebody to come in and seize the animal. Because the animal is now designated to make up the loss, the Nizak's loss, Migufa. Liad, is that what you're getting at?
Yeah.
I think that's a very nice explanation for this whole position in the Mepharshim. Isaac, what do you think? Well?
Sounds good.
So it's very interesting. We don't really have so many cases where you could isolate the Nizak's loss from the Mazik's responsibility. Right? But here in a Hefker case, it's a case where you have no Mazik who's responsible, yet you have a Nizak who suffers the loss, so the rule is he's Mishal and Migufo of the Behema Shehizika. Noah, what do you think?
I like it. Big fan.
What?
Big fan.
Eitan?
It's good. You said it.
Yanni?
What if it wasn't a particular case, like a little weird, but what if it wasn't an animal? What if that fear was like wild?
A wild boar or something.
It was like a field or something, and like a tree was growing, and a tree like roots knocked out like something in your house or whatever.
Right. So do you have a claim against the tree?
Or against like the field, or like the heifer field.
Right. Yeah, I think there's room to extend this.
Trying to collect from the field itself, or whatever, like you'd be able to gain.
Right, like you have a claim against somebody else against it, right? Because it's the mazik.
Mm-hmm.
And
everybody
else
would be a mazik.
Well, yeah, we have all those cases in the first paragraph about the tree that falls and causes nezek, and is that a boar, or is that a
shoved
boar and shore?
Is that just boar, though?
But what if it's an ownerless boar, and so do you have a right of gevia against it, the same way that you have a right of gevia against an ownerless shore? And then Siv sense that it imposes an isser, and Yushami's maskana that even you have a claim against somebody else who later takes it.
It's like a natural disaster.
Right, you have a claim against, I don't know what things.
Like, you get the...
Your bonus will you.
So, like, a tree falls on your property and somebody else wants to take it off, like, so assuming no Kenyan Fata or something, you have a right, you have a first claim against it.
But
yeah.
I mean, sort of similar, but not exactly, but, you might run into Mechalek almost, or conceptually what could have been Mechalek between Shor Midbar and Shor Hefter. As far as, like, when we saw war, we saw somebody showing that said the act of being mafkir something can itself be an expression of negligence that qualifies as, like, you see us as a kala.
Yeah.
So, like, there could be a substantive difference between, like, a natural disaster or, like, a wild shore versus, like, what right did you have to mafkir the shore?
Right.
Like, that's a wild animal. Why did you make a hefker not knowing?
Right. So these cases are cases where it was not... It was just always hefker.
I mean, how do we... The shore bins are fine. How do we know that about the Gemara talks about
So remember the Gemara... Yes, I think remember the Gemara didn't say... At least in this first reading, the Gemara is not talking about a shore shehefikir. It says nifse hefker.
Who knows how it became
the unknown. Okay, so we'll talk about a shore that was owned, then was made hefker later.
But that's only the context where it does damage while it was owned. I'm saying a shore hefker can mean a shore that
doesn't... No, we're going to talk about a case where if you're mafkir, then it does damage.
Okay.
I'll talk about that in a second. But that's what you're getting at.
Yeah, because right. Also that could be a lot... I mean, there could just be a question as to whether or not the act of being mafkir or something can itself
right.
Be negligence that ties into the animal.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a second. So this takes us now to the second half of the Gemara, Ravina. Ravina has another interpretation of Nechasim HaMifadim, also related to Hefker.
Awesome, we're going to do all this in 20 minutes on Monday.
What?
You're going to do all this in 20 minutes on Monday?
Yeah. Right. I would have moved quickly.
Doesn't it also, like, it seems like it's that obvious answer, that, like, the fact that, like, his posture seems to imply that, like, that Nezikin is more of a moralistic.
The fact that it's
Niska Hefker is Pachter.
Pachter Bavli.
Or Pachter Bavli. It seems like that almost assumes that like the concept of the deacon is grounded in moral culpability.
Of persons. Yeah. But I'm saying, but this line in the... That's the Derech HaMelech, right? But then like the whole push of all these Mefarshim is to say, despite the seeming the prima facie maskana of the Gemara, there's all these reasons to think in the Havmina, Maskana Quarantinative, with respect to Esther, and then Maskana Sushan with respect to Tashlumin, that no, there really is some obligation. And I'm saying, how do you explain that? So that assumes that clearly it's not, either it's not about moral accountability of persons, and there's moral accountability for animals, or it's not about moral accountability at all, it's just making up the Nizak's laws. Right? And so when there's no Bailim, so when there's no address for moral responsibilities, then there's still some secondary way of making up your loss from the Dover HaMazik itself. So it's a case of Tashlumin. It shows that it's coherent, or at least there's a case in Halacha of Tashlumin Nezikin without a Mazik who's liable for compensation. That's why I think it's logically interesting. Or at least for opening up that logical category in how Tashlumin is the nature of Tashlumin Nezikin. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's like, if you're thinking in paradigms, there are cases of standard Tashlumin Nezikin, let's say moral responsibility of a mazik, and there are like these economic bases for liability, like Shor Tam, Paganiska Knasa, or like the Shor Shal Akum Shehizik Shal Yisrael, that's also a Knas to generate or to incentivize greater Shmira. Then there are these kinds of Tashlumin, which are clearly there just to make up the Nizak's loss, even though there's no responsible agent. Okay, so now we come to the second half of the Gemara in Ravina. Ravina says that Shor Hefker is really coming to mind the following case. So if the animal causes damage, and then after the animal causes damage, the Bailim is mafkir. So Nechasim HaMichadim is coming to tell us that the Bailim is part of this case. and then it's derived from the case of Tilas Hashor, that Shemar Vavloy Vavayla Behemis Ish Ach Behem Misa Vahmada Vizin Shavim Kecha. So you have to have owner, yeah, the shore has to have an owner, not just Bishas HaNezek, but also at the time of the Hamada Bedin. This is obviously quite perplexing. Right? Why should the fact that the Mazik is Mafgir it after it causes damage be a basis for Ptur? You would think if you're the owner of Bishas HaNezek, you should be liable. How can you get out of it simply by being Mafgir the shore Shehizek? So... so let me just point out, maybe as a clear exercise in apologetics, but I'm going to try to make sense of that din here. So let me first point out that a few Rishonim limit the din. So the Meiri and the Marikatz in the Shitmuk HaBetzes both say that this only applies to a Shor Muad. Mazik V'Yachakam Hifkir would only patur you in a Shor Muad case. Here's the Meiri's point. If it's a shor muad, hefker wouldn't ponder you. So this halacha is only said by a shor muad, if you're mafker that you're ponder. But if it's a tam, being mafke, the animal won't help you, and the reason is that short time is mishalim migufo, so even if you relinquish your ownership stake of it, then Nizak still has a claim against the shore. And the Marikatz makes a similar point. The Eishlamar deravina ayri hafam bin muad. Why? Because eino yachal hafgiyo. Since the animal is muchlat, once it causes damage, aim the other hafkir of a calf. So if it's a short time, hafkir won't get you out of your liability since it's already meshuba to the nizak. So the only time you can get out of liability in the according to Ravina is in a muad case.
Maybe they're right or wrong, but the meiri developed between hektish and hefker.
Yeah, so hektish it seems like you still can, but that's because of a different reason that hektish is mafkir and deshigud.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so what's... okay, yeah.
Meaning it's time. Remember, we saw this in the Sham Shehiziku case.
Yeah.
That even if you... so the animal is liable to the Nizak, but then Hektish overrides it, because Hektish grabs it first.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a different reason. Okay, the Sham Sofer seems to have the exact opposite distinction. He says that Ravina's case is limited to a case of short time. Because when it comes to a muad, where the liability falls on the bailim, not on the shore itself, so even if you're mafkir the shore, the liability will still remain on the nechasim of the bailim. So nagaf the hifkir won't be patur in the case of shor muad because it's already a shibud on the bailim, independent of the shore.
Why?
Haval b'muad she'achiv al habailim shemamon shelahim hizik v'mishtale me'aliyah. Leka lemiftere. So ayin sham in the Sam Sofer. So Sam Sofer, on the one hand, limits the Gemara to a case of a short tam shehizik. The Meiri and the Marikatz limit the Gemara to a short muad shehizik.
What's the svar of the Chatham Sofer for why short muad would have liability for the owners, but not
because the nezek already happened? And it's the Maisa Nezek that generates the Chiv.
Why is that any different for short time?
Because there the Chiv is on the roof of the shore.
We're just going in circles.
Why is it circles?
Because I asked why is there a difference between Tam and Muad, that when it comes to Muad, the liability is also on the bottom. So you said, well, because the answer, because a short time, the liability is on the, it's just on the animal. Okay, but so why isn't the liability just on the animal for Shor Muad?
Oh, because that's the din, is that the muad is mishalim me'aliyah. Why is the muad mishalim me'aliyah in general?
Yeah.
Much deeper question. But he's saying, given the fact that a shor muad is generally mishalim me'aliyah and a shor tam is mishalim me'gufo, the din of naga fehikir would be helpful
in a
shor tam
case.
Doesn't make all the sense. What do you say to the Meiri and the Marikatz?
Well?
How do you say to the Meiri and the Marikatz? That doesn't sort of make a lot of sense.
I think they would say that you still need a Gemar Din in order for the liability to be chal on the nechatzim of the mazik.
And until then, it's all on shore?
Or it's just abstract, there's nothing.
There's no view until there's a market.
It's fair, because usually in Mammonis we say that the chiyuv starts
right away,
even without the Hamadabedin. You have to say something like that.
I mean, if anything rings off terms of a short time, which is like a knas, and the knas went on by the shas Hamadabedin.
Right, but if a short mula, which is an acre and din, then.
Not right away. I've been explaining like this for many years.
Right.
I've heard that.
Right, that even then it starts on the animal and then it gets shifted at the. So I've heard that actually closes Gemara as one of his riots. That's like, that's one of the rides that he thinks that even for a shar muad or something, he thinks it starts on the animal and you need the hamad of the din to transfer it to the violin. So it's a quirky view. Or maybe the answer is there.
Are there anything morally wrong with just being mockery animal?
So we'll see, we'll get to that. Seltzer.
No, I'm just gonna say it seems like everyone would agree. It seems like the Miri you're talking and Mary Catherine talking about the shore itself, that for muad. They limit it to what?
Gemara is limited to muad. Because in Atam, you can't be mafgir.
Right. It sounds like you would still agree that for muad, the nizak can't collect from that shore, but they can still collect from the rest of the Baal's estate. That makes the most sense
so?
To me. Or at least I don't know why they don't say that. Like that would.
No, I think that
would make sense as like the.
In a mood, you're totally punter.
Can't say that.
What?
You can't say that, that's what they're saying. So right. Ravine is literally not saying
right,
that.
What's he saying? You're not chayav for a short time, and you're not chayav.
For sure.
Sorry, you are chayav for a short time, and you're chayav for a short mood. Right, that's what emerged. You're always chayav. So what's the kunsa
right.
Of Nagash to hit here?
I guess you could say that if this is the only thing he owns, the hefker is.
Of course, if you're machmir like Meiri and you're machmir like Tom Sofer, and then of course you're always kind of over keep those sheep does. Wow.
So I guess if this is the only thing you have, if this is like the only property you have, you could say that
right.
Anything the chad is that the hefker works.
Right, if this is the only asset that you have,
maybe.
Okay. So now, like, why not that Fornim have, the Rishonim make another interesting chiluk here. So let me say my pshat, and then I'll tell you how that, I think these relate. So I think it's a very strange halacha that nagach v'hifkir is pater, right? Why should you escape liability if you're the owner of a shas hanezek? So I think the simplest thing that you can say is twofold: A, that maybe the mazik losing the shor shehizik is already part of. Is already part of the, or it's one kind of tashlumin.
Like huchla.
What?
Like huchla.
Yeah, but huchla means that the niza gets it. Here, the mazik just loses it, right? So remember, at least in a short tam case, you pay chatzi nezek up to the full value of a shor. Here, you're already losing the full value of the shor because you're being mafgirit, right? So if you're interested in the mazik paying out something, so then the mazik is forfeiting his rights to the asset that caused the nezek. So if you look at tashlumin as a kind of knas imposed, or at least one part of tashlumin as a knas imposed on the mazik, here he is losing the asset that caused the nezek entirely. So I just want to point out there is one case where the Mishnah is talking about this kind of tashlumin, or this knas as part of the liability. So the Gemara on Daf Lamed has a Mishnah of Amotzi Tivno V'Kashal Rishasarabim Mizvalim, which is a kind of a Borb Rishasarabim. So like you leave like the Kash and Zevel to, I don't know, it either turns, I don't know why, you leave it out so that it becomes like a kind of fertilizer or something, or just to air out. So your fire for Nezegetic clause is Mitam Bor, but the Mishnah says Kol HaKodem Behind Zachavet. So people have the right to take them even though they're still yours. So the Rambam says, and this is clear in the Gemara also, because you created a mazik, it's a hazard that people may trip on, so Chazal rakonis you by making it hefker that anybody can come and take it. So you see that like part of your liability at least is that they made it hefker. So I wonder also, if you could apply that principle to the case of a shore, shehizik biafrika hifir, part of the liability is satisfied by the mazik being mafkir, the shore.
That really only works for when it stops over. Otherwise, you're kind of a way of reducing your liability by being mafkir.
Right. So it's true. It's kind of a trick, but at least it's a trick that does. It's not a trick that's totally orthogonal to the interests of the justice between the parties.
Yes, it is. I mean, if I did.
Let me just make a further point. That the second half of this is that maybe also when you're mafkir it, it's expected that the nizak has a claim to it. Just like in the first part of the Gemara, that a shor hefker shehizik, maybe there's some prima facie claim that the nizak has to it. L'maskana siyushalmi, it's even the maskana. According to the Netziv, it's sufficient to generate an isser on a third party of taking it. So maybe also in the mazik nagach the hifkir case, there is a sense in which the nizak has a claim to the shor shehifkir. So I want to point out, this has roots in a comment of Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yashar. So v'inyan shor muad shehifkiru kodem shenagach. So this is Liad's case, where actually it's your mafkir right before it's nogeach. But here it says, shor shehifkiru b'achakach nagach havi'ehu lebezdin v'yishalim lecha dimigufo mishalim. So notice you have a shor she hifkir she nagach. So Rabbeinu Tam says, compensate yourself from the shor shehizik. Right? Haviyeu lebezin v'yishalim lecha dimigufo mishalim. And then he says, so that suggests that the point is that the nizak is supposed to be compensated from the shor shehizik. V'yim zocha bo acher zocha. Yes, a third party can be zocha. Dehave kimo shehifkiru nizak kiven shelo halach luzkos bo. Since the nizak didn't pursue it, it's as if he was mafkir it directly. So it's, yeah, sure. Even in the case of nagach v'hifkir, you might say, yes, you're entitled to be compensated from. So not only does the mazik lose the shor, the nizak's entitled to be compensated from it, but it's expected that he would pursue it for collection. And if he doesn't, then it's kamo shehifkir nizak kimin shlo halach luzkos bo. So I don't know if it's like the smoothest interpretation of the facts of a normal case. But conceptually, you see that Rabbeinu Tam is getting at this point.
This is the Rabbeinu's case. This is the first case, presumably.
I'm not sure if this is the first case, or this is...
Hefker Nachar Nachmanach, so it's already a short Hefker.
Yeah.
Is it not... This is like the... It's what it's called what we said at the beginning of this year.
Right. But look here. Vafilu Merucha, Merup Merucha, even if the Shor HaMazik is far away, Mistama Afker, eh? Kima Jem Merucha, Mi'im Omid Vitzaveh, Histapik Alav. So Rabbeinu Tam is the Mesupak, if the Nizak says, oh, I want to recover the shor shehizikosi, or hizik shori, I want to recover it, then he's Mesupak whether that precludes a third party from gaining title in it.
Right, it's similar in some ways to the Nisiv.
Well?
It's similar in some ways to the Nisiv.
Yeah. Except that I think we would apply this even to the case of... I mean, for sure you apply this also to the case of Nagach Biyachim Hifkir. Right? So the point is that not only is the Mazik losing the asset which caused the Nezek, it's expected that the Nizek is going to gain it, and the Nizek even has some sort of quasi-right to it. So my point is that it's possible, even on an interpretation of Nagach Biyachim Hifkir Pater, it means the Bailim is Pater, but there is some compensation that the Nizek is entitled to. I don't know, your thoughts, Donnie?
Going back to the Rambam, so I don't see it as so much of a proof because at the end of the day, that the thing that we're putting knas on you, you're still going to be chayiv for if someone trips over it, right? The Rambam, I think the Rambam says that. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
In the case of the... Yeah. So you were trying to say that the chacham put a knas on him.
Yeah.
And that therefore.
I think it's analogous because
he's going to be chayiv in the end of the day.
Right. There you might say there the liability code may be less than the value of the teben and stuff that he leaves outside, ziblo v'tibno, or maybe worth more
but
than
like,
the
still like.
Yeah. My point is that you see that knas is part of.
Yeah, that's true.
Knas is part of the remedy.
That's true. Yeah.
That's all I'm trying to say.
But like it's not a remedy for his like culpability. He's still culpable.
It's in addition to his culpability.
Yeah. You could say I just thought of something.
I agree with that. I'm just pointing out that it's not that this notion of forfeiting the asset is not recognized at all.
Yeah.
Here's one paradigm case where it exists. Maybe that's what underlies the Sugya and Gimel also.
You could also say this thought to make it to say that it wouldn't have a bearing on our case is that there you're making a takala, which like so it doesn't matter if you have bios over it, even if you're taking away, you still have some sort of responsibility to it.
Yeah.
Well, sure, once you make it hefker, like who cares? Like it's not,
but it's still maybe a takala, right?
Is it a takala? I don't know if we
wild shore.
I don't know.
It's a ton like that. Right. It's a question that any shore without violet is a takala, I'm not sure. Right. Yeah, I think it's an open question.
Yeah.
Isaac.
We just said in the Sifra Yasher that like being mafkir might not only is it making the mazik losing, which would be good, but it's also
right.
Expect the nizak will gain. That only works for hifkir, that wouldn't work for hikdish.
Right, I'm only really dealing with hikdish may be different because there it's Hekdish is mafkemik yeshibud. So there are like might be other reasons why.
So even though Mishnah's pairing them together, they're
right. Right. It's not mitam hefker there, such that Hekdish has a variety claim. That's the way Kinyani Hekdish work.
Right.
Isaac.
It just seems absurd that you'd be able to reduce your liability
by being mafkir.
Like the Gemara and Alamanov, like that makes a lot of sense. We're imposing an additional knas, not only are you liable, but we're also forfeiting your property rights in that thing. To say that like the forfeiture of property rights can like substitute for like your insane amount of liability. So
right.
Very strange.
Seems difficult.
Yeah, like you like put the shore like in an LLC or something, like that's basically what's going on here, right? Like you're able to like reduce your liability to like any individual thing that you have.
So if it's a short time.
Yeah.
So like, especially if you're a Sam Sofer person, I think that this whole sig is limited to short time, then it's the same thing, right? Because your maximum liability is capped at the full value of
that's
the short time.
That only makes sense according to Sam Sofer.
Right, it makes the most sense according to Sam Sofer. But I guess you have to figure out, like, in what cases is it expect, I guess, how frequent is it that the Nezek is much more than the value of the short itself? I don't know what that
is. You have to assume that it happens on at least a somewhat regular basis.
Right.
If we say the Shabbat and Aliyah for
right. So maybe the first part alone is not sufficient. Maybe it's both the fact that you're mafkir and the assumption that Nizak will collect from it. But even then, you're right. It may not be sufficient to make up his losses. I'll have something to say about that in a minute. I have a better answer to that question. Which we'll get to in a minute.
Even if you want to go within the hearing or the cash equation, like if you focus on the side from the perspective of the Nizak. Like, maybe there is some sort of, like, better retribution there, because now he gets, like,
right.
A whole living animal that he can just take and walk away with.
Right, unless he's going to get three of them from,
yeah.
Depends how many of his stuff, the
yeah.
Mazik's animal.
$600,000 in gold. So.
Right. So it just depends on the facts of the case, right?
Also, there's a get in. That's a cool
get. Yeah, that's true.
But on the face of it, it sounds like, yeah, every case of liability, the Mazik's faced with, look, either I can just forfeit the asset or I can pay compensation. Right, that's what it sounds like, and he just chooses the lesser of the two. Even if it's also expected that the Nizak recovers whatever the Mazik forfeits, like Allah, the Rabbi Natan, and Sefer Yashar. Let me just try to motivate this idea a little further. So the idea that the Ganav, the Hifkir, works through this joint idea of forfeiting the asset and the Nizak recovering the asset. So here's just two interesting discussions. So they're Rimil O'Neill, quoted in the Shinduk Metzis on Yud Gimel and Beis, talks about, he distinguishes between the mazik being mafkir the animal and the mazik selling the animal. So he says if the mazik, if the mazik's animal causes damage and then he's mocher it, even though the bialus changes, it's no longer his, that's not going to exempt him from liability. But why not? why isn't Ganach the Hiftir the same as Ganach Umachar? Right, where it's no longer the Bailim, so the Bailim should no longer be liable. So he has a really interesting idea. And he says, Lo Dami Hefger Lemecher, Lefisha Halokeach, Huda Afsir Anafshe, Kishekano, so, Benasam Lo Dami. She'afa Pisha Nasam Lo Hadamim, Adayin Shame Bailim Harishonim Alav, Vehave Ki'ilu Lo Machro. Aval mishehifkir poka shein bailo vimenu. Ba'anan ba'inan shiyu lo bailo mishas negicha ad shas hamadavidin. So what do you think he's getting at?
Rashi.
What?
Is he referring to Rashi a little bit?
To who?
What did Rashi say earlier about shortage?
I don't think so.
You can spell whatever it
is. Yeah. And a mechira, what?
Isn't the one with that from Rashi?
Yeah.
You know what Jonah's saying?
Yeah.
But I think he's saying something different. He's saying that in a Mechira case, it's still considered to be the shor shel hamocher, because the mocher received monetary compensation for selling it, and the lokeach received it mikoach the mocher, so it still has the shame habayalim olav. So you see that it's like the mazik is still like benefiting, or he was the machne of the animal, so it's still associated with him. I want to emphasize the fact that the machne received compensation for it, so it's still shmo olav, and that's why he's still liable. It's only in the hefker case where the bailam totally just forfeits the asset without any gain that it can serve as a patur for him, but he can't profit through selling it. So when he sells it, it's still, he still got some benefit from it, so it's Shmuel Allah, he's the Machne. And that's why he would still be liable.
Is
that the Machne?
Are you saying the animal is still collectible?
He says that Lokeach is Asa Nafshe. Yes. I mean, it sounds like it. Why does that matter? So the lokeach will just be chuzer after the machne to recoup his losses?
Well, I mean, maybe, but I thought the point that you're trying to go is that when you're not engaged in this, like a knas type, giving up your property rights,
and there's still liability.
Then, like, you retain liability. That's not something I'm quite interested in. That the animal retains liability. Maybe the lokeach can go back to the mocher and say this is a false sale, but it's not that the owner retains liability, it's that the animal itself is like still indebted to the mazik.
Which we go back to the Rashi, because the Rashi just talks about short ish as long as it's associated with some kind of ish.
Right, here's more than that. Here it's more than just being associated with ish. Here it's that it's still the shore of the mazik. Correct?
Okay.
Right? I think that's the critical point. A dying shame, violent, harishonim alav. Right, that's that critical line.
Why isn't the member? Can you explain that? Why isn't that natural shame bottle and shun them along even though you sold it?
Yeah, because you were the title transferer.
So what? So if anything that's a stronger, if anything that should be stronger than Hefker, I was a title transferer, and now there's no one else to take the place, so I retain something. And after I gave over the title.
Well, what's the difference? One is where you're forfeiting the asset.
Yeah, but the forfeiture, though, should imply that you still retain something more than if you gave it over to someone else.
Well, there you're cutting your relationship. You're cutting off your relationship from it. So it's like the knas where it's expropriated from you, versus a mechira case where you're selling it and you're benefiting from the transaction. So it's still associated with you, right? You're the beneficiary of the sale.
Yeah, but now
so
like,
that's not sufficient.
But now someone else is competing with you for the ownership of the shore.
He's not competing with you. He's bami kochacha. He's like your replacement. He's your next of kin. I think that's what he's getting at. So, did I answer your question? So my point is that in order to escape liability, you have to forfeit the shore. In the case of Nechira, where you don't forfeit it, so liability remains. Like, you're just pointing out that the liability remains with the shore.
Right.
So I'm not sure if that undermines my analysis.
No, I think it does. First of all, because I think you were basically saying before that the liability remains with the shore even when you are in the right? Because the Nissan has the right to collect it.
Right.
So if that's true, then there's no substantive difference between being mafia and being aware. Right. But also, I feel like his point is not about. It almost sounds like he's just in the case of accomplishment. Like he's just saying that like the everything is made with Shalini Gufo, and so like, and if
yeah.
you're mafia, but in the case of your mocha, right, so it's still your Shalini Gufo. Right, it's not like the
But in the case of Hefker, it's not Mishalim Gufo. Maybe it is in that loose sense of agreeing with Tom, or that it's it. But his point is that the din of the Gemara on Yud Gimel only applies in the case of Hefker, not in the case of Mechira. So I'm saying, what's the difference? The difference is that one case you forfeit the animal, in one case you don't. Right? So here's another thing I think may support this kind of reading, or this general interpretation of the din. So the Shulchan Aruch in Piskei Mamon Taf Vav Sif Gimel, Paskins is halakha, and he says Nagach Shoro VeHifkiro Kodem Shemem B'din VeZach Abo Acher Pater Aval Im Zach Abo Hu Atzmo Chayev. So you can't have this trick where you're mafkir it. And it's Hefker B'Shas Gemar Din, or B'Shas Hamad B'Din, and then you yourself are Zochem in a Hefker. Right, the only time it can work at all is if it's Zocha Bo'Acher. At least there's like some neutral third party who was Zochem in a Hefker. That would block the Nisak's collection.
But
usually we say that you could be Zochem in a Hefker yourself.
No, but there's a lot of discussion about it. If you try being after something,
no one picks it up. Is it still yours?
You try, like, if you're in a Dharma discussion about, like, trying to put yourself from monster to
right,
most.
Right. It's interesting.
Maybe, like, the Das is not there to actually be Hefker.
And that's what Yoni's saying. Maybe
it's
Hefker a lot, but that it's possible. I'm not sure. If I was reading this in line with the Reed Milaniel, then I would say it's a sure. It's a nagach v'hifkir halacha, right? It's a tashlumin halacha. That the did is you have to forfeit your vitalis over it, and if you don't, then you're still chayav. That's how I read it. But you think maybe there's
and therefore
more...
you didn't forfeit your vitalis entirely, no?
Yeah, you didn't forfeit your vitalis, and that's why
it's because you're still fit again.
Right.
So that's not tied by this. You weren't waiting after it, though.
No, I think the point. It's not like a hilchos hefker didn't go through. But the point is that you didn't forfeit your title claim to the Shor HaMazik if you just retrieved it later.
But you did, and then afterwards you retrieved it.
But it's like, I think it's analogous to the Mechira case, where you're still the beneficiary of the animal.
But
so you can't claim that.
But for those, you know, for that day that you made it in Hefker, you were forfeit. You did forfeit entirely.
Right. But then you just re-benefited by reappropriating it.
But why is that relevant? You forfeited entirely. That's why you're talking about
it. Because you also, well, you didn't really forfeit it entirely if you were Rizokhem in a Hefker.
Well, then you're kind of like edging into what I'm saying, just that you're not
even. But I'm saying the reason is because in a din, it's a din in escaping liability for a short shahizik, is that you have to forfeit your claim to the asset.
Yeah, I get that. I
you're saying formally you have. Now the Rambam in Nisken Mamon Ches Dalet seems to have, I think, a better formulation, which would, I think, work nicely with my reading. And he says that Shor Hamikra the Bailim Shehizik Yachma Shehizik Yekisho Hefkira Eza Pater Ad Sheyir Lo Bailim B'Shas Hezeko B'Shas Hamad B'Din. So the Rambam thinks it's sufficient as long as there's any Bailim B'shas Hamad B'Din and B'shas Nezek, then you would still be liable to compensate the Nizak. It doesn't have to be the same Bailim. So it's against the Shulchan Aruch. because the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply Nagach Shoro v'Hivkiru Klor B'Sham V'Din V'Zachah Bo'Acher Pater. Whereas the Rambam saying imply that if there are any violin B'Shas Hamad V'Din, then you'd remain chayiv. See that? So this works out nicely that if a mafkir it, so this works out nicely with the idea that it's intended to go to the nizak. So if somebody else is zochem in a hefker before the hamad bedin, then I remain fully liable, right? Because there's some bialim that's precluding the nizak from gaining, from taking title over the shoramazik. So long as anybody else claims bialim over it, my liability resurfaces. I think the Rambam's restriction that there can't be any bialim at all, it's not limited to the bialis of the mafkir. Any bialis is sufficient to keep the mazik's liability in place.
They don't make that clear.
The Lechem Mishnah. Mashmi de Rabbeinu, lo bai shiyil lo baal echad mitchil v'atzof, ela shiyil lo bailam levad. I said it's different from Rashi. Look at Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi says, Mashma Shiyah lo ba'al echad mishas amad v'yashas amad v'din. What?
So doesn't say the hefker thing
now. No, he doesn't connect it to the hefker idea. I think it works very nicely with there being a time and sefer yashar hefker idea that, or at least my explanation for that, that it's assumed not only the mazik's forfeiting the asset, but that the nizak is entitled to take it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, okay. I mean, if he had been you or something, he would have said, I think he would have said, imkain, hefker, zacha akher.
He also says katu kathator, in some tapa.
He says what?
He says Katav Kacha Torah, Lechem Mishnah.
Think Kacha Torah?
Yeah, Kacha.
Thinks the Torah saying the same thing as the Rambam?
Yeah.
Does the Torah say the same thing as Shulchan Aruch here?
Oh, that's true. I imagine so.
What?
I check, but I imagine so.
Yeah, you should take a look. That'd be a passion on the Lechem Mishnah, though, right? And the Lachem Mishnah summoning is pretty clear. Isaac, you're saying the Diak's not, the Lachem Mishnah's Diak is not right?
No, I'm saying the Diak's not right. I'm just saying he doesn't seem to think that that would apply to a case of Mafkir or Zachaba. He seems to limit it to the case of the Rima Lineal where you sell it to someone else.
The drama?
The Lachem Mishnah.
Oh, yeah. You don't think it would apply to also to cases of Hifgir and then...
I was just expecting to say that case.
Explicitly.
That is the case that Rambam is dealing with, and it's also the Muslim Kudosh case.
It seems like according to the Rambam, it doesn't have to be the same Baal, but there needs to be continual Baalut.
That's his bad reading of the Rambam. Because Rambam says, Achi Yilo Baalim, Bishas Hezeko, U Bishas Hamad Bedin.
Right.
The Rambam doesn't say that it has to be all the way through. Right. So that I think that the economic is not warranted. It's just these two windows which are critical, not the extended process. You don't use with me, yeah.
I like you.
Well,
I like your point.
Okay.
But how does it connect from the savior to your to the
Korean time savior? Because I think the point is that if somebody else was Zocha the animal, gained title to the animal, even if it's different from the mafkir, and that precludes the nizak from taking title to it.
Yeah.
Which would mean that he can't be compensated from the animal. So the halacha is that he's.
But he could have in the meantime. If you were mafgirit, and then the mouse back.
He could have.
You fuck yourself. He could have anything.
So then I'm saying, look, shas hamad bedin is what's kaveya. From then on, it's when we care about his ability to collect the animal, not mishas hanezek. Because right, Mishas HaMadvid is when he's trying to exercise his rights in collection. It's not expected that he should do it with Mishas HaMadvid.
Okay, we're taking Lucy connected, though.
I guess.
It's the Torah says the Shulchan Aruch.
It says the Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
So it might be a second bad point in the Lechem Mishnah then.
Right.
Unless it just means the Machar of Horish point. Is
right.
Well?
I think that's what you mean. It's just a Machar Horish, but not the Hifkir. That's the continual ownership, not the...
I wonder if the King Kasavatur part is just about the Nagach Machar, or not about Zahor's point, not about the idea of that bilemecha. Why would you distinguish?
Because of the continual bond thing. There's two.
But there's no basis in the Rambam for continual bilos. Right? It's achi ulo bilos. Bishas hezeko u bishas amadavidim.
Now you could say that that's what his way of saying it. It needs to be here and there.
Here and there.
From A to Z.
Think so?
Yeah, there needs to be something at A and at Z. That means from A to Z.
Not sure. I mean, Isaac, what do you think?
I agree that that is what he's assuming.
The Lacha Mishnah. What do you think about the formulation of the Rambam?
I don't know. I mean, I think it probably leans toward more appropriate to read, but I think it's still open. Like, you said, like, maybe like, it's ownership because, I mean, like, the really no part is pretty good also. Like, I don't know if you need to read one or two.
Right.
That can't happen. You have to have
it. Right. So I want to make two concluding points, both of which are pretty important. So, the first point is, okay, but everybody has a flavor of, like, the main idea that I'm trying to suggest here. So, two concluding points. The first is, you might think it's crazy to allow somebody to ex ante be mafkir or something, and then allow him to escape liability. So, you see your shore charging at somebody else, like, gee, I'm going to be liable, so you're mafgir it, right? And then you escape liability that way. That sounds like a real problem. So the Imre Beek, sorry, the Gula Shmuel points out that, and this is what Zolti, I think, was also alluding to, so oftentimes hefker has, you're mafgir something, but it remains yours for a certain duration. Some poskim think it's until somebody else is zocha. So I think it's a mission of Shumos. Is that right?
So it's probably not a
Dharma. So you can see here, for example, so the Shulchan Aruch in Reishayim Gimel Tes says, Amafkir has Sadeh Ublo Zacha Ba'adam. Kol shlosha yom yachal atzera. Achar shlosha yom yin yachal atzera. So, like for example, if you're mafkir your sadeh, even if nobody else claimed it, you have a grace period of 3 days to back out of your hefker. Right, so it's like still yours for those 3 days. El inkein kinin mizach haba, harei hu kizokum in a hefker. So the point is that even when you're mafkir something, you don't forfeit title right away. It remains yours in the interim.
Isn't this like almost like a dinder banan? People are like abusing this or like
Korean
or some.
Good, yeah. For our purposes, it doesn't matter whether you retain title to rice or job.
No, but the point is, it's a situation, a very specific case that you.
Oh, this specific case.
Yeah, and it's like dafka sada and nothing else because the sada has this concern. So the banan made this rule that you have 3 days, so you kind of take advantage of like. Whatever it was, like the Kurian or Meister or whatever, it's like
right.
A cultural deal.
Right, I think Shulchan Aruch's possibly is not only about Zerayim, because it's true in Kosh Aruch too.
But I'd say minimally it might only be for Sada.
But again, the same child by Shor Hefker, by Zedah Machlokes about other Nechasim, whether you retain title until somebody else is Zilcha. That's like our Rambam's same as Kasha, why. Or meaning I give you a right to come and take it.
Yeah, but until you collect it,
it's still mine. But
yeah, so
it's still mine. I'm giving you a license to take it.
Or
two pieces of that.
The other, me and Kohat.
And this is Rambam's famous point that bittul chametz can't be mitam hefker because if no one's zocha in your chametz, then you retain title. One of the problems. So the Gula Shmuel just points out that insofar as Hefker doesn't itself cede title, so you remain liable for Nezikin until somebody else is Kona. So all these cases of nagach v'hifkir, or you see your shore about to be mazik and then you're mafkir it, it's not the maisa hefker itself which grants the immunity. It's this. It's the ceding of title. And the ceding of title only goes into effect in some of these dinim after the 3 days in the Sadeh case, or maybe until somebody's zoche in these other cases. He says, I think he's saying the Gemara means like once you see title.
See title means someone else takes it.
Or after this time period is up, you should end yachal lachzer bo. Muchach debaylam hu adayin l'shmiras nezakav. So if there's any point that the hefker can be undone, then you remain bialim until it's clear that you can't be chozer from the maisa hefker. So that's one important qualification on the din of the tzur hefker. So for example, if your shor is running and it's going to gore somebody, it's not so clear that you can be mafkir right away and escape liability. That's the point from the Gedulei Shmuel.
This is against Ravina.
Well, I'm not sure if it's, you think it's inconsistent with Ravina?
Yeah. How could it be consistent?
Because maybe it's only once the hefker goes into effect that it's irrevocable. Let me just get the last point out here. So the last point is more important even. So the Gemara in Gittin HaMem Beis, which we saw in the Hezek Shinar Nigar Sugya, talks about Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro, that you're liable if you destroy somebody's Shibu. This is a case where you make your Eved into an Apotiki, and I say, I owe you money, you'll collect it from my Eved, and then you go ahead and you're Meshachar the Eved. So the Gemara says, you're chayiv, at least close to Machlokas Tanayim, that you're chayiv mitam mazik shibudo shel chaver. By freeing your Eved, you're mazik the Malveh's ability to collect his chov from the Eved. So there's liability for mazik shibudo shel chaver. See, the Rambam paskins this and follows mazik zayin yidalev. Hose avdo aputiki v'chazar v'shichar v'chayiv v'meshachar l'shalim v'balachov. Sharei hifkiya shibudo v'garam la'abed mamono. Afkiya Shibo generates liability. Magnishna says that this chiyuv is more than Dina de Garmi even. He says, Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaver Hu Chayiv, Banan de Kaimlan de Dina de Garmi, Kol Shekein be Mazik Zeh Shehu Chayiv, de Ha'ol Mutveh. So it's not clear if he thinks that this is bona fide Nizkei Adam, or somewhere in between Dina de Garmi that's Chayiv and Adam HaMazik, which is Chayiv. So either it's like a super Dina de Garmi, or it's like a watered down Adam HaMazik. The Beis Meir asks, he says, well, if this is the case, then how are you ever potter for Nagach V'yachar Kach Hifkir? Your shor gores somebody, causes damage. The Nizak has a right to collect damages from the Guf HaShor, right? So when you're Mafkir it, you're Mazik Shibudo Shel Chaveiro. So you should be Chayiv for being Mazik Shibudo. So that's the base mayor's question. Kasha, Kozar Gemara, Kasha came out of the one that she was butter, Hapaskinam Chayiv. So the Ketzos and the Avnei Miluim and Simit Tzadi Gimel has a very clever answer. He says, Palga Niska is a Knas. A Knas doesn't exist until there's a Hamada Bedin. So you can't be considered being Mazik Shibudo Shel Chavero until there's actually a Hamada Bedin which generates the Chayiv. So if it's Nagach, V'hifkir kodem hamada bedin. So you weren't mazik shibudo, you just blocked the process which would have created a shibud on your shore. That's the Ketzos's clever answer. But in a chanash, mazik shibudo will apply if there was a chiyuv mamon. It's just not going to apply in cases of chiyuv knas. The Imre Bina gives Liad's answer. His name Imre Bina in Dinek V'yas Chov Simen Chaf Aleph, and he says, Inachanami. If you're Nagach V'hifkir, you are liable to compensate him for being Mazik Shibudo. The principle is just that our Gemara, which says you're Pater, just means you're Pater from Chiyuve Nezikin for the shore being Mazikin. But if you go ahead and you're Mafkir the shore, yes, you're Pater for being Mazikin through a shore, but now that generates a second liability for depriving him of his ability to compensate himself. So I think this is the best answer to the concern. Well, like, wait, it's crazy that you could have your shore be nogeach somebody to be mafkir and escape liability. And according to the Rabbina's answer, you can't. You could escape liability betorah shore shenagach, but then you become chayev for like trying to escape liability of shore shenagach.
Well,
it has nothing to do with Rabbina, because Rabbina is not talking about mazik shibudo shel chavero. He's talking about nezikin of shore shenagach. Well, he's saying you're putter from this case shore, but you're chayev for adam hamazik. Great sharp suggestion.
Easier answer to just say that the person has the shibud on the person and not on the shore.
It's not. We're talking about shore.
No. So tomorrow morning,
we're going to email
Ravina.
Yeah.